D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5, the game broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. We are live at the brand new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky, just over the Tennessee-Kentucky border. Come on out. We highly recommend it, and we thank Circa Sportsbook for its hospitality, not just for our program, but Chase and Big Joe earlier as well. And now we are pleased to be joined, as we are every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. Hope you are.
We are. We are loving our setup here. We highly recommend you make a trip up to Franklin, Kentucky, and check out this new sports book.
Absolutely. I've seen some of the shows today on YouTube. So, yeah, it looks cool. Looks very cool.
So, Hutton, we got to get your thoughts. Look, we haven't touched on it today. I think a lot of Titans fans want to move on from it. But I want to get your take on the scuffle, the skirmish, the kerfuffle, the confrontation between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons at practice. Cam Ward addressed it today. Jeffrey Simmons addressed it yesterday. A lot of different opinions on this. Trevor Maddich had a strong opinion on this yesterday. He called it, quote unquote, ridiculously immature of Cam Ward to instigate this scuffle, skirmish, however you want to call it. Cam Ward said today, it's what the Titans needed. It's about competition, all of those things. So where do you stand on this hot button issue, Cam Ward versus Jeffrey Simmons from earlier this week?
Well, our theme going back weeks now has been about energy, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe the tone at practice. And I, when I heard about this, I'm thinking, man, if Cam Ward's not involved in a story at practice, I don't get any sense of, any developments like this. You know, like it's just kind of, do they just go through the motions with the rest of it? Two snaps left in practice, Jeffrey Simmons getting thrown out with two snaps left. No, it doesn't seem like it was coming to throwing fists, but look, you can't shove the quarterback. But at the same time, we're talking about Big Jeff here, Jeffrey Simmons. You're gonna get in his face. He's gonna get after you. So this goes back a little ways too, because if I recall, Callahan during minicamp referenced the fact that those two were talking trash to one another. It doesn't surprise me, but it sounds like Cam Ward was trying to get some competition going and got the best of Jeffrey Simmons. Maybe JC Latham did on the previous snap. This fits the mold of Jeffrey Simmons. And it sounds like Cam Ward's totally fine with talking some trash himself, which we also knew. I didn't make too much of this, simply just based off of the reports that came out of it with a shove and we've seen instances where we don't see the quarterback get helped up off the ground. I like the fact that the offense is taking up for their quarterback.
We are going to do this exercise in our next segment, but I want you to help us preview it.
Okay.
We are going to do this over the course of the season. I believe this is the second time we've done it. The first time being immediately after Cam Ward was drafted by the Tennessee Titans. We're going to do a Cam Ward vibe check. So okay. I want your Cam Ward vibe check after a couple of preseason games, five series, everything you've read about in practice. How are you feeling about Cam Ward as the preseason nears its conclusion?
He's one of the few aspects right now of this team that I feel like is trending in the right direction. The depth is really bad. They don't have many solutions, it doesn't feel like, on defense, although linebacker looks better than what we expected. If it's not Jeffrey Simmons or Tavondre Sweat, I don't know what they're going to do on the inside. I don't know if they have a pass rush. L'Jarius Sneed, maybe he plays in 18 days. We'll see. We can go position by position here. He's a rookie quarterback leading a rookie team, is what it seems. I think he's been good. I think it's been a good camp for him. He has provided some energy to the team. And if we're not talking about him, I don't know what we point to right now. that's excited about the upcoming year, just based on what we've seen. Everyone expects this team to be bad. They don't have a lot of star-studded talent. They're trying to develop that. He's the glimmer of hope that you get excited about when you just look at this roster. So with all that being said, I don't think it's been it certainly hasn't been a total bust of a camp. And I, on the little that we've seen in the preseason, although I'd like to see him more, I think everything's been okay. I don't think it's been spectacular. I'm not ready to crown him Jaden Daniels. And they certainly haven't won the month of August, but I think they've won in the category of, we know who their quarterback is and what they can try to build around now. And now can they elevate the overall play? I like the makeup of what I've seen from Cam Ward.
I think, Jonathan, they've won the fan base thinking, okay, Cam may be the guy.
Sure. That
no one's out on Cam, but they're like, okay, we've seen some things that makes us believe as a fan base that, okay, he can be the guy. But the problem in that is they look at him, but then they look at the roster and say, well, he may be the guy, but that ain't the roster right now.
Right.
So with that being said, we talked about the development of and what you liked about Cam. What do you think of the coaching staff? Because that was a big question mark coming in too. Would Callahan and his coaching staff, we talked about how inexperienced some of the coaches were on his staff. Now he does have some experience on his staff, but when you're talking about coordinators, it lacked experience. But how do you think they've done thus far? What they've done thus far based on what you've seen last year.
Look, I mean, I like what they've done with Bones Fossil as the coach of special teams. I want to see Denard Wilson in year number two and the adjustments that he makes in order to generate some pressure from a defense that doesn't have the individual pressure packages that you just click release and all of a sudden the release the hounds and they get after the quarterback. I mean, we've discussed this. He's got a group right now that will they have a player above six sacks of the season? It's pass rush by the sum of the parts. I don't like the way that looks, especially with the way the secondary has looked, Mace. In terms of talent and development, I can't judge the coaching staff right now until I get to December and see how this season progresses, because that's where the development of this young roster, we have to see how this thing turns over and look, start with Callahan and work your way down, how they handle some pressure moments as a staff. We're just getting started here. When you start going position by position, how many solutions do you have as compared to like questions? They've got to sort their way through it. I don't see a staff that's done anything to show me, Mace, that, this is a drastic change and, they saw the light and all of a sudden everything's, now headed down the right path. I don't know. I can't say that. They're working with what they have, but at the same time, they're expected to do a lot better than what we saw last year. I think the upgrade at special teams with the experience there, bringing him in, Fossil, and an offensive line that looks much better than the group we saw last year, that can make a world of difference. And in some of the areas of concern that were awful for this team a year ago, they were 2-5 or 2-6 in one score games. Defense couldn't get a stop when you needed one. And the quarterback didn't have time to throw it or was making egregious mistakes. Now they have a rookie back there who's going to make mistakes. There are going to be lessons learned across this season. Can the other spots pick up the slack where he has a rookie moment or two? That's yet to be seen, and game plans matter. And last year, did we focus or point out much of a game plan quality to a three-win team? No, I think we need to see more of that.
Now, cut down is what? 10 days, somewhere around there.
I think the 26th, cut down on the 26th. Yes. I think it's Tuesday.
Tuesday. So they, after this game, they'll be getting ready to cut down the roster to 53. In that, what position or what move would surprise you? If, say, if they kept a guy or cut a guy, what would surprise you? Or nothing because of the roster is so. Yeah,
that's what I was
going to
say. Like, there's not many. Where's the battle? You know, I was doing a Titan season preview with a station up north earlier today, and they were asking me about this, and I was just like, that guy's like, they're asking about the depth. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't really tell you where somebody's like truly pushing for a starting role other than a linebacker. Like, we're centered on that spot. And it's not like this is a veteran heavy team that's just rolling it back off of a playoff run last year. It's a young group that you should have a lot more position battles, in my opinion, than what we have. So I don't know if I'll be shocked with anything other than like, it's not like Van Jefferson's getting cut. Mm-hmm. Would they swap one of the specialists? No, I don't think at this point they haven't even brought in other kickers. I think, you know, keeping more than two quarterbacks, maybe, like if they kept three, you know, that would be a surprise. I'm trying to like, even the receivers, we're going seven deep and it's pretty easy to figure out who those guys are. It's a rare occurrence in a camp where you have a team that was as bad as they were a year ago and turned over a lot of positions and players and really don't have many questions about what we're going to see lineup wise, come week one in Denver. You know, I won't say I'm surprised to see L'Jarius Sneed off PUP, but, you know, I'll be surprised if he's ready to go week one. And we see him in Denver, like playing the way he was in the five games, we saw last year. But as far as cut down day, I mean, what would you be surprised at? What am I missing?
You're right. You're the linebacker position, like you said.
Linebacker?
A receiver. I think Porche makes the team. Restrepo and Jackson, I think they
practice
are candidate,
squad.
Practice squad. I think both of them are candidate for practice squad.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you're right. They're
looking for guys.
Yeah, they're
it's
looking
not like,
for
hey,
guys. Yeah.
That's right.
We've got these three NFL guys in mm-hmm. the last, they're just looking for guys. It's the opposite of what you would hope for with a deep roster.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, they're competing. The guys that feel like they're on this roster are competing with guys who are about to be cut on the waiver
right.
wire.
Which is really the question, I think, Hutt, is that, and I don't know the league well enough, right, at that level, but I'm wondering if there are two or three guys they could take advantage of that would be clear upgrades. You can already tell they've been trying to do it. They've been able to pick up a few guys here and there that are veterans that have played some that they clearly think are better than what they have. So do you think there's one or two that we could say, hey, you know, that guy will help us?
Absolutely. I mean, I think more than that. I mean, let's be honest here. We've seen the depth play this preseason. There'll be some quality players that are, you know, in the opposite of the discussion we're having right now where it was just a numbers game. You know, like they lost out on because a team's really heavy at receiver. They're only keeping six instead of seven. Maybe a receiver gets dropped somewhere that can help this team come in and help solidify this group. Maybe it's at tight end. Maybe a running back for sure would be an area of interest for me. Corner. Let's also say at the tackle swing spots on the offensive line, good tackles don't get cut, but there can be upgrades where you find someone who's better than some of the options that they have right now on the outside of the line currently.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So, Jonathan, I don't know how much you guys have hit on your show, what's going on in Tennessee. I have seen a swell of people in the aftermath of the Adidas deal, getting the real lucrative deal, that just after that, they have announced that ticket prices are going to go up again. And there's some, you know, nobody ever likes when they raise the ticket prices, right? I get that. But it does make you wonder how much do you need, right? I guess the answer is, they still need more if they're going to raise the ticket prices.
Well, I mean, if they need as much as Texas, I guess.
It's truly an arms race, right?
Yeah, I know. And look, at some point, don't we reach a point where we stop handing over all the dollars? Like, To me, like, if I'm the billionaire that's running, that's owning the college football program, at some point I'm getting tired of, the program coming to me like, hey, can we have $5 million, please? Think about that. Like, can we have $20 yeah. million dollars? You might have, like, over and over again. As long as they produce results, fans will keep paying. I mean, the loyalty's there, but I see keep paying up to a point. Like,
they're selling it. They have the demand, right? What you read is they have like 25,000 people on a waiting list to buy the tickets if people don't like the prices, right?
Yeah, and I mean, how many programs right now can do that? There's not many that can do, like, raise the prices and just say, hey, this is for talent.
Like, yeah, I mean, and they're saying it, right? They're saying it up front.
They are.
Hey, we're charging you this because we want to be able to pay our athletes the best. We want the best people. So it's like you're incentivized. Yeah, let me pay more so we can get the best players.
Yeah, we're helping this. And, hey, this is this is the exact reason why there is no mulligan year for Josh Heupel because of the quarterback situation. This is Exhibit A right here. So it come December, I know everyone's kind of like, oh, it's a, you know, the quarterback situation is what it is. And that's all true. But Heupel's not going to be feeling that in December if the things go awry. And let me also add this in. This is why I don't think this house settlement is going to hold up in court once they're sued again. Because there's a clearinghouse that is overseeing, like, fair market value for certain things that players can get paid for, meaning, like, if a car dealer wants to pay Arch Manning $500,000 to come sign autographs for an hour, what's the fair market value of an hour of signing autographs? Like, they're going to try to corral that. But then you have Oklahoma charging $600 for fans who can now upgrade their ticket to go to the media room and sit in on the post-game press conference. Like, what's fair market value for sitting in a post-game press conference?
I still can't believe that.
Let me tell you, as someone who has attended those news conferences, has participated in those news conferences, there is not a dollar amount in the world I would pay. Well, maybe like 50 cents. Like, you don't want to see us schlubby reporters asking questions. There's nothing glamorous about it. I read that and I was like, you have got to be joking.
It's anything for money, right?
You can pay who's doing it, where you can – is it USC or Oregon, where you can run out with the team? Fair market –
Vanderbilt was selling pieces of the goalposts, right? It's just what everybody's doing now.
They're
saying that, oh, we're going to do this, but you can't get paid X amount or on the other side of things. That's why it's all just craziness. And it, at least from the Tennessee perspective, and Chad and I haven't talked about it from this angle, from the Tennessee perspective, they're just out front and saying, like, here's the tax that now goes towards talent. So for all the rules and all of the overseeing, and we want a governing body and we want parameters, it's the fans who are ultimately paying everything. For all the universities that were crying poor because we had an open, all of the awful collectives were taking all the money that was going through the university. Well, now the fans are just being charged more. That's ultimately all that happened here.
You're pushing the limits. And I've always wondered when the NIL first came out, like, you were already going to the fans as a school and saying, hey, we need you to donate to the Commodore Club or the Vol Club or the Crimson, whatever you call it, because we need the facilities. You know, but now you're saying, hey, we need that money. We do need the facility. But D-Mace, now we got to ask you to the Spartan Club for double because we got to pay the players on top of all those facilities and locker rooms.
Well, didn't UT say that when they rose prices, I think, last year?
Well, they've been upfront about it. But this is interesting to me. I had a friend of mine who is a very good business person, and he was a very good player at his school. His school came to him and said, hey, you played for us. Can you help with the NIL? You know, we need money. You know, this is new. We got to get into this game. And he's like, look, that's not interesting to me. I could do it, but that's not – I'm going to come to the games, and I love my school, but I'm not interested in paying athletes. I didn't get any money. You know, and he's kind of going against the grain. Like, this is working. People are raising new heights of money in this, right?
Let me add this in. And look, I'm not criticizing anyone when I bring this example up. There are people who helped raise money to in order to pay George McIntyre to go to Tennessee. that's for a player who's not even playing. So, like, you're going back to the coffers after all of that, right? And mm-hmm. By the way, I want to say the fans are paying. At some point, where do we – maybe we're already reaching this point where I remember growing up, my dad would take me and my brother to – I remember the first college football game I went to at Neyland Stadium was Tennessee and Arkansas. We sat in the upper deck. We had, like, two hot dogs and a Coke or whatever. And I don't know how much he paid, but I don't know if he would be able to do it now for that experience for his sons. Like, at some point, you max out the true hardcore fan base that is trekking across the state to go to Knoxville. Like, that was, you know, and it's not just Tennessee. It's everywhere. But at some point, don't we reach that threshold? I don't know if, again, the 20, 25 programs that are able to do this because their fan base is seeing success and seeing the benefits of it. At some point, you just simply say, well, I've already have five streaming services. I don't need a sixth, right. You know, and the only reason you're getting it is because the NFL's on there.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow from Outkick joining us on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick as he does every Wednesday at 5:00. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
One preseason game left, gentlemen.
Thank
and
yes.
then
goodness.
We've made
real
it. We've made it through the long August. One more game to go.
We are on pins and needles waiting for the actual start of NFL football, real NFL football. Thanks, Hutton.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yep.
615-737-1025. All right. I mentioned it to Hutton, and now I'm mentioning it to all of you. We need your help. 615-737-1025. This is something that I want us to do periodically throughout the NFL season. We are going to do a Cam Ward vibe check. How are you feeling about Cam Ward through two preseason games, five preseason series, all of the reports out of practice? How are you feeling about him as the preseason mercifully nears its conclusion? Are you feeling better about him than maybe you were at the beginning of training camp? Are you feeling worse? Are you feeling the same? It's time for a Cam Ward vibe check. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.